Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is so good to be with you once again. Welcome to the place that you will get everything you need to have the cleaning company that you've always wanted, the cleaning company that you deserve. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me or want to hire me to speak at your next event, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. Or, of course, you can give us a call at 480-648-5149. Give us a call. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we have a return guest on the show, Jeff Norris from Simply Clean Janitorial. Simply Clean's been serving the New Orleans area in Louisiana with commercial cleaning services since 1999. So we've got someone that's been in business a while and hopefully knows what he's doing. If you want to reach out to Jeff and his team, you get a hold of them at www.simplycleanjanitorial.com. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for having me back, and I look forward to learning a little bit more today.
Yeah, well, give us a little bit of an update. Tell us what we talked about last time and what's changed in your business since then so we kind of get caught up to speed. And I'll make sure I put a link in the show notes page to your original podcast so everybody that just wants more Jeff can get a hold of that. But tell us a little bit, catch us up on what's happened since, my friend.
Okay. The last time we talked, I was kind of, you know, have that question of where do I spend advertising money and all the AdWords and all the calls you get every day trying to get your business and was it worth it and so forth. And after we talked, I kind of slowed down a little bit on pursuing that route. And I really started to just focus on taking care of every customer I have and building that relationship and getting them more value, which in turn is got me more referrals and clients. So, which I love that because it's free. I didn't have to pay for the advertising, but it is taking me a little more time to get things done and a little more of my time to take care of all those clients. So that's kind of where I'm at today is, you know, when's enough, and how do you kind of figure out what's good customer service or what's, you know, too much or being taken advantage of?
Man, so a couple of good points I want to give you before we move on. First of all, I love what you said about, hey, I needed to get my current customers happy before I get new customers. The two mistakes I see people doing is they want to grow. So they come to me like, hey, how do I grow? Where do I advertise? What do I need to do? But they either aren't profitable, meaning they're like, well, and it doesn't matter the revenue, you know, people be at 50,000 a year or 500 or 5 million a year, and they're not profitable. They don't have a business plan that works. And they kind of think, well, if I'm at 500,000 a year, if I could just get to 1 million, then I'd be profitable. The reality is you've got to fix that business now, get a profitable model, and then grow on it. The exact same concept works with customer service, right? If you're like, hey, I've got customers that aren't really raving fans. And to be, if I were honest with myself and with them, they're not even fans. They just kind of stick around because it's a pain in the butt to switch, or they don't stick around, they leave. But instead of fixing that, I just want to go get new customers to piss off. That's not a great strategy either. So I'm really glad that you brought up, hey, let's get our house in order first. And then once we've got a system, and we're going to talk about that to answer your question, once we have a system to turn prospects into customers and new customers into happy customers and provide the service, you know, every day, all day, without lots of hiccups and headaches, then let's add fuel to that fire and let's get some more customers. So I love that you kind of got the right order. So that said, what I thought I heard you say, I wasn't sure if you had a question or not yet, but what I thought I heard you say is you want to make sure in that process there can be a, hey, I give away the house for free and my customers love me, but I'm broke. And then, of course, there's a flip side of I don't do nothing for without a buck and I nickel and dime them and they hate me and I'm broke. Am I putting words in your mouth or is that where we're at?
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, when you own a business and you give them a scope of work and you go do it, and then all of a sudden for them, it's easier to contact you and say, hey, you're in here at night. Can you do this? Can you do that? And you're willing to do it. But again, you don't know how much painters charge or electricians charge to change light bulbs. And, you know, all these little things, or this is broken. Can you fix that? So how do you kind of build that into your service without it taking too much of your time or your people's time to keep up with those things that aren't in the scope of work, but you would like to make some money for and, you know, increase that monthly revenue?
Gosh, that I'm so glad that you brought that up, because this is really a foundational thing. And that's such a good question. I'm shocked that I haven't gone over that in this podcast before. I think I've done it coaching, but I'm pretty sure not publicly. So A, I can always tell the caliber of a student or someone that's trying to grow, an owner that's trying to grow their company, by the caliber of questions that they ask. And that is a high caliber question, because you're really getting it. It's some of the heart of the concepts that a good, healthy business needs to own. So let's dive in. So first of all, gosh, there's so much I want to make sure I get it right, or I get everything in a good order that makes sense. So first of all, let's talk about, there's a fine line between one piece of it, which is what I call being sticky. So I like being a lot of things to your customers. So there's a high pain of disconnect. I like when they're like, well, I could switch companies because this guy will save me a nickel, but they don't do light bulbs and I really need light bulbs, and they don't offer floor service and I don't want to have to get a second vendor for that, or tell Jeff, well, I don't want you to do my janitorial anymore, but I do want you to do my floors, and then I've got to find someone to order my supplies from. So I really like that kind of all-in-one, really sticky, where your customer depends on you and it's a very deep relationship. It's not just I come in and clean and it's a commodity. So I really like that. That said, just like we talked about for money or not, you've got to draw a line in the sand of, well, am I a painter or an electrician or a general handyman? Do I want to be in that business? Because you certainly don't want to put yourself in a situation where you do things poorly, where you're excellent at your janitorial work and you're okay at changing light bulbs, but when it comes to painting or light electrical, you're like, that's not really what I do. So it's very important, before you talk to your customer, you decide and you're crystal clear on what business you are and aren't in. And again, my thing is, as many services you can offer your customer that will deepen that relationship, the better off that you are, but you've got to be able to offer them well. And that's where entrepreneurs run into trouble, because they kind of overestimate what they can do. Oh yeah, I could do that. I could be awesome at that. And it's like, well, could you provide that service? Maybe. Okay. But could I be awesome at that? That's where there kind of gets to be some self delusion in terms of, yeah, I can be awesome at all these things. It's like, you really, really can't. So I can't answer your question directly on you should do light bulbs, but you shouldn't do painting, or you should do painting, but only this amount. But that's the concept I want you to get to, in terms of, I want to be as sticky as possible, but it's the opposite of sticky when I screw things up. Does that make sense before we move on to what you should charge and how you should charge and what should be free and what should be included?
Yeah. I love that. The simple thing is, I need to be awesome at it, because that to me will like really help draw the line in the sand. Because like you said, if I'm terrible at painter, or if I don't have time to do it, then it just gives them one more reason to be like, look what he did and he charged me for it. And they might want to find a new vendor for something I was doing awesome. So I like that idea, that's the first question I need to be able to answer is, I need to be awesome before I take on that job.
Man, you're going to take my job. You said it so much better than I did. That's why I love talking to entrepreneurs. You guys absolutely get it. I'm not even going to add to that. I agree. All right. So now let's talk about, once assuming that you've made that line in the sand and go, yes, I can be awesome at this, and yes, I could do this, but no, I can't be awesome at detailing this guy's car, so I'm not going to do that. Once you've made that line in the sand, now we've got to figure out, well, how can I surprise and delight and make my customer love me, but do it for a way where I'm not giving away the farm, which I think was your original question, no?
Right.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about that. So the first thing is communications. All this stuff, there is no right or wrong answer. It's how the people perceive this to be done. If you're like a perfect example, if you have a referral, and I promise you're going to, this doesn't sound like my question. I promise we'll get there. If you have a referral that says, you got to call Jeff, I've had a dozen cleaners and this guy is so cheap, I think I'm taking advantage of him, but man, this guy is cheap. Get him before he figures out and raises his prices. That's not a great referral, right? That when you go there, you've got a lot of work to do. Either you have to give away the farm, or you've got a lot of work to do to re-educate them, right? But that's a hard conversation to start if you come up with that perception, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if they come and go, oh my gosh, Jeff is amazing. We actually paid extra and I was really worried about it, but the dude is so good. I'd probably pay him 20% more and be happy because his service is so amazing. You got to call this guy. If you had headaches with commercial cleaning companies before, you got to call this guy. Your life is going to be great. Now that's a sales appointment or that's a customer you could probably help and really have a good relationship with right off the bat. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would love those.
Okay. So the point I was trying to make, because we're going to build on this to answer your question, is the positioning, the way that your customer sees you to start has everything to do with your success or your failure. The exact same thing comes with pricing. So if you're always giving, I'll throw that, no charge, then when you go to charge for something that's very reasonable, maybe the first three things you should have charged for in your gift, you'd think they'd go, wow, I got three things for free. This fourth thing, of course I should pay. It's not that way. They're going to go, oh, now he's trying to screw me. Look at Jeff nickeling and diming me, right? You set yourself up wrong. So the big thing is you've got to set it up right. You've got to give yourself that referral of here's the relationship we're going to have. So they just get that from the beginning and understand things cost money. If you start with things are free, you just have to ask. It's very hard to switch that. So the way that you start that is at the very beginning when you give them a bid. I'm a huge fan of it, for sure, with residential. It's a little harder with commercial, but with residential, for sure, a tiered pricing where there's kind of like good, better, best, right? Because there's some people that are always just going to take the most expensive option no matter what. If they always get the premium gas, it doesn't matter what car they drive, if it needs it, that's them. They get the premium gas. If there's the gold package or the ultra gold package, they take ultra gold. This is who they are. It doesn't have anything to do with you. So there's a lot of those customers that are that way and they want to spend more money with you, but you're not offering them that service package. So they put their wallet away, or even worse, they'll go find someone else that will offer them the luxury service package, right? The guy that's going to buy the Mercedes is not going to buy the Hyundai. He's just not. And if you try and sell him a Hyundai, he ain't going to buy. So how that works is you're going to delineate exactly what you do and what you don't do and what you will do for an additional fee. So when you give them good, better, best, usually the reason I do it is their budget was different than their needs, right? And this is on the commercial side. The residential, I'd have a flat. This is what we do, good, better, best. It's the same for everybody. On the commercial, you got to customize a little bit. So if I go in and we have a conversation, Jeff, and you tell me your budget's $1,500, but we talk about your dream world of what your life would be like, and I know that that's going to cost you $2,500 to get that service, I'm not going to come at $1,500 and have you pissed off later because the service is no good, and I'm not going to come in at $2,500 where I know I can serve you well, but you're going to go somewhere else and be unhappy. I'm going to give you both. I'm going to say, hey, Jeff, we talked. I know your budget was this. This is what we can do for $1,500. It's not going to cover everything that you want, but if budget's really important, more so than the result, here's a plan, right? I don't want you to feel like I'm just trying to get the most money out of you. You wanted $1,500. Here's what we can do. I think it'll get you by, but you're probably not going to be real happy. What you really want when we talk was this. This will cover all of the windows, the painting, whatever, you know, all the things that you do. That's $2,500. That way, either they think it's $2,500 and you're well compensated to do those things and they won't be tempted to ask you because you're already getting paid to do it. Or when they do ask you on the $1,500 plan, hey, Jeff, would you mind doing this or that? You go, absolutely. I'd love to get you upgraded to that $2,500 plan that we talked about. And they go, oh gosh, yeah, that's right. And they either upgrade or understand it costs extra. The third piece of that is, here's the things that you wanted done that we don't do. So there's a $1,500 plan that fits your budget. There's a $2,500 plan that does everything except for the painting and the, you know, light mechanical work or whatever nonsense they wanted. And here's a couple vendors that will do that for you. So do you see, if you set that stage, you set that table nicely right at the beginning of the relationship, it's really easy going forward 6 months in when they forget, oh, hey, Jeff, would you do this? You go, great, that's in the program. Remember this? I showed it to you. I'll fax it over. We can get you upgraded. I know I went fast, but does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I like that because that'll give me, instead of just saying no, it'll give me other options to where they have to say yes or no.
Right. And you're just going back to what you already said, right? If you don't set that table, right? If you didn't do that at the beginning, it's a lot harder. When they go, hey, would you do this? You go, well, it's extra money. This is a new conversation. Not that you can't do that and don't have the right to do that. Obviously, you should charge for your time and your efforts, but it's a lot easier when you're reminding them about a conversation they already had and they already chose the cheap option. So they kind of know, oh yeah, you know, that we had that conversation. The last thing I want to hit you with on this is, is unadvertised bonuses. I'm a huge fan of surprise and delight. So anytime I give a bid, I want to have kind of what I tell them I'm going to do, and I always want to blow them away. I always want to over deliver and under promise. So I might know that my service includes A, B, C, D, E, F, right? But I'm only going to tell them about A, B, C, D. That way, if we agree A, B, C, D, you're a happy customer and you pay. When I do A, B, C, D, E, and F, they're ecstatic and blown away. And the E and F, the surprise and delights, are not included in the higher thing. They're different services. So, like, for example, it might be a handwritten note. It might be leaving a little candy jar at the front office that you fill up for them every night. It could be a special scent that you use. So you want to have kind of surprise and delight things built into every package, so they're always getting more than they bargained for. And the cool thing is the $2,500 package, the bigger package, you can afford to do some really nice surprise and delight things because there's enough money in there after they've already done business with you. You might just, you know, on Valentine's Day, buy roses if that's appropriate, and say, if it's a man, say, hey, this, feel free to give this to your girlfriend or your wife. And if it's a gal, say, hey, this is from us to you, or whatever you feel is appropriate for you. Maybe you give them movie tickets and say, hey, take your Valentine's out on us. But you can kind of throw in some surprise and delight things that aren't things they would typically ask for, but you're still way over delivering. Because I know you're thinking, well, hey, I want to over deliver. How do I do that? You do it that way as opposed to changing light bulbs for them.
Okay, gotcha.
Cool. All right. That is everything I've got from what you had. Any other questions or anything else you need before we hit the lightning round, my friend?
No. I mean, the way you kind of laid this out, it gives me an ability to set some things up in the beginning, because I always want to make sure I give value to every one of my customers, and what they pay me is the value they're getting. And actually, I give them a little bit more, like you said. But I've never taken it to that extent to where I offer a different level so I can offer those specialty things, which is awesome, because that's something I've never done. And I find myself running into situations where I'm working a lot more hours for something that I feel I could be compensated for. So I'll have to learn how to kind of work that into my current structure and see if I can make that work in the long run.
Yeah, let me give not just you, but Clean Nation as well some thought, because I've fallen into that track as a younger entrepreneur of kind of always trying to over-deliver, which is great. That idea is good. But let me give you a way to think of it that I think will serve you and Cleaning Nation. I moved from, man, I really like this customer and I want to do this nice thing, so I'm going to just throw that in or not charge. I kind of equivocated cheap pricing or low pricing with making my customer happy. As I've gotten older and more experienced, I've moved that in my mind to expensive pricing makes my customer happy. I had a car dealership, and sometimes you'd get someone that would just grind you and grind you and grind you, and you'd have all this risk of putting together this car and making it nice and all the overhead, and you make no money off the car. So when that guy calls in later, he's like, hey, can I get a set of floor mats, or can you throw in this thing or that thing? It's like, dude, I can't even afford to be talking to you right now. Other customers paid a fair profit, a fair markup or margin. And guess what? When they called in and needed anything, and obviously we always stood behind our product in terms of if it broke and we made a mistake, we always fixed that irrespective of profit. But when there's a lot of profit involved, we could do some really nice, really exciting things. And when they come in, you're not like, oh, good Lord, is this jerk again? It's, hey, this is my favorite customer. You know, I didn't take advantage of you, but I made enough money that I can help you. Like, you know, so now I start equivocating profit with the ability to serve. The more money you make, the more fun things that you can do to surprise and delight and make their life better, the better advertising you do, the better marketing and communication with them. There's all sorts of cool stuff you can do, but it all takes money. So the customers that just want the cheapest price and don't care about experience, don't chase them. Let your competitors deal with them. The customers that are like, hey, I don't want to get screwed, but I'm willing to pay a fair price and getting a good result and having a good experience and you fixing my pain and really helping me. And if it costs a little more, I get that. Those are the customers I want. And I equivocate in my mind, the more they're paying, the better I can serve them and take care of them. And the less they're paying, the less I can take care of them. So I would just encourage you to kind of adopt that mindset. And if a guy's grinding you for pennies, it's like, maybe he's not the guy. Maybe he's not a good customer, because when he wants anything, I can't afford it because he's not paying anything. So if you could change your mindset from good service equals low prices to good service equals high prices, A, I think it's the truth, and B, you'll be able to serve your customers a lot better and sleep at night and feed your family, and all sorts of good stuff will happen. Any questions before I hit the lightning round?
No, that sounds great. I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right, beautiful. Hopefully that helps. And now we're going to give you the opportunity to get me to shut up for 2 seconds and get you to share some of the experience that you've had in your 17 plus years of business. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've received, either business or personal?
It's kind of funny. Being true to myself and my family. I guess as owning a business in the beginning, you just want it so bad that you forget about you and your family and the reason why you want this business. And I was told at one point when I was killing myself working 7 days a week, you know, you're doing this for what, you know, and I had to stop and think and go, you know what, I'm doing this so I could spend time with my family and enjoy life. And I just wasn't doing that. So that was a big thing that they made, you know, got me to sit down and really think about, okay, let's figure out how I can make some changes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I have nothing to add. That was so well said. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? Maybe you can save some of the newer folks in Cleaning Nation some steps.
And I guess it ties into exactly what we were talking about today. I did everything. Like in the beginning, I did commercial. I did new houses. I did home clean. I just did everything and anything. Somebody called me, I did pressure washing, I did lots, I did windows, like I did everything. And when I did that, none of it was really well, it was just done. So that was something that I really had to hone in and figure out, what do I want to do and do well, and what do I like doing? And that's kind of was a big struggle in the beginning.
Beautiful. Love. Yeah. I feel like I spend 20% of my time telling my clients to do less and be awesome at it as opposed to do more and be adequate. So it's so nice when I can relax and let some of the older, wiser owners of cleaning companies share. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right now? So it could be personal or business, just something they can implement immediately.
Scheduling. And I know there's so many people out there that say, be organized, do this. And to me, it's been a life changer from, you know, now I get a chance to be active and healthy and exercise and do all those fun things. And it's because of my scheduling and me being realistic. So figure out or get a way to schedule your jobs, your life, and put it on a calendar and be true to it. It's made a huge difference in my free time.
Okay. So just taking control of your, not just, you know, scheduling in terms of what employees should be where, when, but your own personal life in terms of what should I be doing right now?
Exactly.
Okay. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I am digging your passion. I love the way you look at stuff. I really appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Jeff's show notes page, I'll make sure there's a link to his first episode as well. All that's at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.